Hey friends, it's Matt here again. Now, this might only make sense to the more mature among you, but do you remember when you'd sit down to watch a new episode of your favourite show on TV and it only came on once a week? And if you didn't see it live, you might never see it again. Right? You've been waiting all week, you're excited to see the story progress, the theme song plays, the show starts, and then, oh no, it's a clip show. Oh, bits of episodes that you've already seen before, linked together with just the barest attempt at an excuse for a story. Remember those? Well, guess what? It's The Supportive. Yes, it's the end of season one of The Supportive podcast. And before we take a little break and then get into season two, I wanted to take a look back at the 10 episodes we've had so far and see what have ended up sort of being the themes through the series. So if this is your first episode listening, then welcome. I think this will be a good taster for you of what's waiting there in the backlog for you to download and listen to. But if you've already been along for the ride, thank you so much for listening. But if you make it through to the end, I will share just a little bit more about what to expect in season two of this podcast, which will be a slightly different format. So maybe skip to the last few minutes for that, if you like. Otherwise, let me take you back to the start of this thing. I mean, why should a customer support platform even have a podcast at all? It's not about selling you the product, although, of course, if you're not a Help Scout customer and you could use some help delivering better service, it is a great option. Please do get in touch. But really, it's about all the other stuff. It's about the skills, the culture, the technology, the attitude that it takes to deliver consistently high-quality customer service. Because, yeah, basically every company claims to value their customers and they offer exceptional service. But mostly that's bullshit. I mean, we all know that. We've been on the receiving end of it as customers so many times. So then how do some companies manage to consistently deliver actually good service? What are they doing differently? What does it take to make that service possible? That's what The Supportive Podcast is for. It's for any customer-centric person who wants to get better at the work, to create better customer experiences, to build the systems and the tools that enable those experiences. It's for support leaders and for people who want to be leaders and for people who don't want to manage people but who do care about doing better work. And it's for the people who aren't even in support but who do care about customer experiences and want to understand what it is that makes them happen. So if that sounds like you, well, you're onto a good thing here. But here's the story so far. We've had 10 full episodes of this podcast, plus a bunch of mini ones that I called supportive shorts, just because it sounded funny. And listening back, I can tell there are some clear themes through this season. And the big one, unsurprisingly, is just that colossal shift that customer support is going through right now, where generative AI is sort of being slathered all over the field, and we're all scrambling to see what that means for us and figure out where we're heading. And finding that out takes first understanding where we came from and how we started there. And I've been around in this field for a long time, so has my friend Sarah Hatter. In episode 8, we talked about the very early days of online support.
Literally no one cared about us or our jobs except each other. That is what happened. And so you emailed me as a customer one day. I wrote you back a response that most likely wasn't the best response I've ever written. I can imagine it was very hurried. And you wrote me back, and you were actually so kind. And you said, I do your job across the world for a company that's kind of like yours, because the kids will never remember this. But back in the day, cloud software services were new. People were downloading and installing and saving things on hard drives on their iBook. There was still so much to it. And we were trying in vain to roll into that the lessons that we've learned from companies like the Disneys or even like Jeannie Bliss, who had talked about customer experience and hospitality. And it wasn't really ever going to work for us the same way. So I think that you and I being on the forefront of that, working for two pretty large names in the SaaS space very, very early on, got to be a part of dictating the path and creating those guardrails. We were the ones who said, you know, we're going to do things differently. We're going to be kind. We're going to be friendly. We're going to be fast. And we're going to give as much resources as we can to people. Here we are 20 years later trying to do the same stuff.
Sarah and I were working in support as we sort of collectively decided on what good online service should be and how it was best created. And today it feels like we're going through a similar process with AI. All this newly available technology means we don't necessarily need to build our teams and our systems in the same way. Back in episode one, I talked about all of that in more detail.
Why? Because generative AI and large language models will change the way we structure support departments and how we staff them. If you're a customer-centric leader or you plan to be one, what do you do about that? What specifically is going to change? What should we do differently? Well, here's the short answer. AI will be part of every decision. Whatever decisions you make as a leader, how many people to hire, how to set up reporting, which channels to support, how you manage your queue, there will be an AI angle to all of them. And the decision makers above you will want your opinions on all of that. And whether or not you see a role for AI in any particular area, you will need to have thought it through and have an informed perspective to share with them. So I'm going to give you four broad predictions. And number one, self-service will be central. This is the big change. More customers getting helped without having to talk to a person. Prediction number two, lower cost per interaction. That means you've got different scaling options. If your staff can now answer fewer of the basic questions, they've got some time left over. What do they spend that time on? What valuable service could you offer to customers that now might fit into your time and money budget? Prediction number three, customer support QA will be transformed. Prediction number four, support will be built on flexibility. And if you think, when I say flexibility, of the foul stench of gig economy contract worker abuse, well sniffed. I mean, that's definitely how that word is often used today. But I think there's a more positive alternative here.
If I had to describe the single biggest change that I see coming down the line for support, it's not so much about AI itself, because that's really just a tool. It's more about self-service becoming the primary interface for help. And in episode two, I dug into that.
There'll be a ton of queries where everything is close enough to standard and predictable that some form of AI-generated response, we just find the customer won't need to wait for human help. But there'll always be masses of edge cases and more complex issues and sensitive issues and whatever the support equivalent is of using your own bag that's just slightly heavier than the stupid checkout machine can understand, an invalid item in the bagging area might... Anyway, self-service, driven by customers, delivered by AI, designed, monitored, crafted by people, that's the way most customers will be helped most of the time.
Listen to the rest of episode two for some specific recommendations. But basically, if it all plays out the way that I think it will, then we're going to need to build our teams and place our people differently than we have in the past. It's going to reshape support departments in a way that they haven't really been rebuilt since maybe the late 1990s. But luckily, in episode six, due to a helpful stranger and a convenient tear in the space-time continuum, I obtained a recording of a future support team onboarding session from the year 2028 that showed us where we're heading. We always had problems with support following customer service scripts and then not noticing that those scripts didn't exactly apply. And generative AI has sort of aggravated that issue for a lot of companies. But that's why at Platypus, we are always self-service first, not AI first. You know, if we can't get people a self-service answer with the help of AI, where it makes sense, with proper limits and monitoring and QA, well, that's why we still have all of you lovely human support folks here. So we are human first here, but we are humans amplified by AI. We think that is the sustainable model for high quality support. People are always going to be a very necessary component of delivering great service, even as our specific roles might shift and change. And the best way to navigate through all of those changes is to do it together with all our support community friends. And in episode 9, Sarah Hatter was back, and we talked about the very early days of the online support community. Or at least the kind of support that we do at Help Scout, the kind that isn't done in massive offshore call centers.
October 12th, 2012. Such a long time ago. San Francisco.
Sarah really kickstarted real-life events for online support teams through her company, which was then called UserConf. And I flew from Australia to San Francisco to give a talk at that first UserConf event. I met a ton of great people there. It was a genuinely life-changing moment for me, and I think for Sarah too.
I had done events before, but never on my own, and certainly never with the intention to do it as a long-term career. So we came up with this idea. We got a bunch of friends together, which when you think back on it, I look back on it as like I was begging my friends to come and be a part of this thing. But what we found was the question that I was asked at the end of the day by 300 people who were there is, when's the next one? When are you going to do the next one? So we did another one 6 months later. We did another one 6 months later, and we kept doing them, and the community keeps growing. And it is never going to be something that people don't want.
And then in episode 7, I really proved the value of that community by sharing a bunch of smart advice from people who are in those communities, the sort of information that they would tell people who are new to the field, like Cody, who summed up what it is to do support.
Accept that you won't have all the answers, but never stop chasing them.
That's a really great episode to start on if you're just beginning your support career. And if you are, just go look up Elevate CX or Support Driven right now if you're not already part of those communities. And the final theme of season one for me was about leading in support, specifically about developing influence and effectiveness with people who aren't your direct customers, but might be your teammates, your employees. They might be in other areas of the business. And in episode 3, I chatted with my much more Aussie sounding friend, Ben Henderson, about the intersection of support teams and product managers.
What is the job of a product manager?
You know, to put it in really simple terms, it's really about just understanding the intersection between what customers want and how you can solve that problem with technology. It's kind of like combining those two things together in some way that is effective, unique, solves the problem or the unmet need an effective way. I won't even say new and interesting because I feel like that's like a little bit like overbaked. It, like, it doesn't have to be exciting. I think an often actually effective application of technology is actually usually pretty boring.
We discussed how support teams can best connect with and influence product managers and the decisions that they make.
The most consistent and effective tool that I've seen anyone use, regardless of their role, is the five whys. That's the quickest way to consistently get to a deeper understanding of the problem. Ask the next question, you know, like, oh, but why is that a problem? Like, what are you trying to achieve? Oh, why is it so hard? Like, oh, why are you doing this in the first place? Ask why and keep asking why until you feel like you really understand the problem. And then that's what you're trying to like capture.
He had a couple of other suggestions too.
Yeah, I think having like someone who's accountable within the success or the support teams for that relationship and can also be the person that the product manager or managers know to go to when they have questions. That's really key. And then I think quite practically on the data side, it's like just having good data hygiene more than anything, as much as possible. A small number of tags or kind of segments of feedback to put stuff in so that it's anytime the product manager is looking for insights, like they can actually go and self-serve. Maybe the last piece is don't be afraid to throw stuff away. Backlogs build out over time and it's easy just to keep stuff there just in case you need it. It's like the anti-Marie Kondo effect. But actually, there's a reason why she was so popular and that whole thing was popular. It's one of the best things like both product and support teams can do is actually clean the house regularly so that you don't have all this noise sitting around.
There is so much involved in support that isn't the queue-crushing, problem-solving work that we all think of, especially once you become a team lead or the head of support. And in episode 5, I spoke with my former colleague, Elise Mankin, about her transition from frontline support to becoming a support leader.
Lead with curiosity. You know, if the team is upset that you're not in the queue, why? You know, right? Like, is it a perception or is it an actual frustration because of any number of reasons? Because they're really feeling the crunch because you know, maybe other folks are out for other various reasons, and maybe that's something to look at as a team. You know, there's a lot of different causes of that. And I think just really being curious about what's coming up for the team And then I think about it in three buckets, like what you can completely control, what you influence, and then what you can't, and talk about those in those contexts.
If you're pretty new to leadership, or if you'd like to become a leader, episode 5, that's going to be super helpful to you. And then in episode 10, I spoke with Buzzsprout's head of podcaster success, Priscilla Brooke, about her own journey into support leadership.
And so when I started working with Buzzsprout and doing their support, it took me probably 2 weeks to realize, okay, wait, this is not what I thought it was. This is so much more relational than I thought and what I expected. And this is something that I want to do for a long time. This is where I feel comfortable and I don't dread my days. I'm excited about it. And I really knew within a couple weeks of doing customer support full time that this is where I wanted to stay for the rest of my career.
Priscilla has a great story and she's super engaging. Give that one a listen. But wherever you are in your support or adjacent career, there is something useful in season 1 of the podcast for you. Even if your sole interest in life is weird group dances that are based on Tina Turner songs, there's something in there for you too. That one's a supportive short episode, by the way. It's called We May Need Another Hero. You can also find that one on the Help Scout YouTube channel. But that is season 1 of the supportive podcast all done. And I want to say a huge thank you to all of the guests that I had on this season for giving up their time, sharing their expertise. Thanks also to all the people on the Help Scout team who assisted with the visual design work, with the web pages for the show, who contributed ideas and content, who helped promote the show. And of course, thank you to Fina, our editor. She makes all of this sound much better. And we'll take a short break now before the next season. There will be some inter-season mini-episodes popping into your podcast player, so please just stay subscribed for those. And then season 2 will begin, I think, probably in July, and we'll be doing something a little bit different. And I'm calling this second season Our First Customers, because I'm talking specifically to founders of customer-centric companies. And I want to hear their stories about the early days, about how they obsessed about those first few customers, what they did to learn from them, how they tried to make them happy, and how they figured out how to grow a company at the same time as delivering that kind of highly personal service. The very first episode of season 2 will be Help Scout's own founders, Nick, Denny, and Jared.
And I slept less than 5 feet away from Jared for 3 straight months when we were in Techstars.
This is true.
And I'm not going to tell the sheets story.
You've already said it now, yeah. So.
We're going to cut that part.
I'm really excited about this one. I hope you are too. If you have a moment to spare, please go and rate and review The Supportive on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. I want more people to hear this. I need your help to do that. I also write an email newsletter. It's called The Supportive Weekly. You can subscribe to that. It's all fresh content, completely different, but it is on the same sort of topics. It's a fun read. Just Google The Supportive Weekly. You'll find it. And of course, you can email thesupportive@helpscout.com at any time with your comments, your suggestions, your heckles, whatever else. I love to hear from you. So stay tuned. We'll be back soon.